Chris Davis on pace for, what'd you say, 300 and what is it? 24 home runs.
I'm so impressed that you can do that math in your head. I need like all my fingers and toes.
4-2 A's
win.
How
many fingers do you have?
Wow. Do you have 324 toes?
Well, I know how to go around.
What are you counting?
Repeat the cycle.
Gotcha.
Katie has a word about something here.
It's 7:07 time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
I'll give the hot tub place a kick down a hot tub. Come on.
Chris Davis is a great A.
He's a phenomenal A.
I like the way that the kind of Billy Beane idea of constructing an offensive roster where it's like you don't necessarily have to have a huge average, but you're going to work the count a little bit and you're going to hit it hard.
I don't know about that. He's batting 750, Nate. That's pretty damn good.
You know, this is his career slash line from him. 249, 312, 504. Dude, just run into it, man.
Yeah, it's funny. There are players that are A's. The A's have very... It's one thing you say. They're like that band. Like, if you hear the first 5 seconds of a Green Day song... Hold on.
Oh, Lord.
If you hear the first 5 seconds of a Green Day song, you know it's Green Day. Uh-huh. You don't have to hear Billy Joe sing. If you hear the first 10 seconds of a U2 song, you know it's The Edge. You don't have to hear Bono. If you hear the first few seconds of a 311 song even, you know it's 311. You know it's 311. You don't have to hear Nick Hexum singing. So with the A's... You generally can look at them and go, that's an A. That looks like an A. The Yankees used to do this a lot, and I always felt like Dante Bichette of the Colorado Rockies when I'd see him in his Rocky uniform. He looked like an A to me, or a Yankee to me. He absolutely belonged in a Yankee uniform, never wore one. The A's have that identity, and whether or not they're going to be a good team, and let's be honest, kids, they're probably not going to be a good team. Probably. The odds would say, but... There's always an exception. The A's have perhaps the, when you combine the players, the franchise, and their fans, the A's have the largest identity of any team in baseball. I think you could make that argument.
Yikes. Really?
Yeah. I think that they're
based on what?
I'll make my argument. I don't think there is another baseball club that has the atmosphere at an A's game.
Okay, that's fair. Because
it's a World Cup atmosphere, basically.
Because you can bet, and this may not be true, whereas we can look at a player and say, that guy's an A. You can bet your ass that Cardinal fans think they can do that.
Sure they do. Sure they do. And you can look at a guy, let's put it this way, like for the Yankees, you can look at a guy and know that he's probably not a Yankee.
Based on facial hair,
but you don't know that he's a Yankee. The A's, I think, have the most unique. And listen, Wrigley Field has their thing, and there's Fenway has their. Nobody has an atmosphere like the A's do at their games. You're banging drums and vuvuzelas, and they practically have the.
Years since I've been to an A's game.
You should go.
But
we have tickets.
Yeah, I mean,
which we'll share with the listeners.
We could probably literally go anytime we wanted to, Katie.
And probably, literally sit on home plate.
Day.
Yeah. No, I mean, seriously. Yeah. Day games.
No, I get it. But, what I'm trying to get out of this is, how is that environment so much better than any other ballpark?
It didn't say better.
It's a lot more. And, day games during the week are a little bit different because getaway day is always weird. But
right.
It's a lot more like a soccer atmosphere than, or if you watch baseball anywhere but America.
Right.
It's a very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Minor league.
Well, yeah, but it's bigger than that. Whereas basketball and a lot of other sports, the crowd is constantly on the edge of their seats waiting for the next thing to happen. Whereas there's a bigger picture type of atmosphere when it comes to baseball in this case, but soccer especially, where you've got there's a lot of downtime. But you've got all the ongoing chants and cheers, and it's almost like there is a bigger product. They're not just there to respond to what happens on the field.
You're exactly right. There is an atmosphere that they create at A's games. And again, I refer to the drums, like you said, the signs.
Mm-hmm. It's more than just standing with two strikes.
You go across the bay to AT&T Park, and that is more of your classic. And I don't mean that as better.
It's loud, and it's awesome there.
It is.
But it's a completely different.
Correct. And I think also with the A's going furthering my argument I'm trying to make about their identity being the most unique in Major League Baseball, you go with everything from their uniforms. I mean, these are not your classic, you know, pinstripes or blacks, blues, whites. I mean, they've got this just yellow and forest green going. And what's that other like limey green that they use in their alternates with the brims on the hats? I actually think it looks pretty badass. They've got like this color scheme that's just like, rah! Here you go.
It pops.
It pops. They're almost like a 70s team. Mm-hmm. You know, and
white
those
shoes, man.
Yes. Throwback. Very much a throwback. And,
got
and
the
I
green
always,
stirrups on yellow socks.
Yes. And I land on the 70s all the time because I think those A's teams in the early 70s were some of the most classic. You know, you look at the big red machine, you know, the murderer's row at the end.
Swinging A's, dude.
Exactly. They had their own unique identity, and I think the A's still draw today from that early 70s identity. They've stuck with that. Now, don't get me wrong. The Cubs, obviously, are about as throwback as it gets. Same thing with the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Pinstripes. They all have those parts of identity. But I think when you combine the look of the team, I'm talking the uniforms, you combine the atmosphere in the crowd, and then the look of the individual players, which is they look like they could – half of them look like you could find them at the end of a bar at 1:30 in the morning with a mug of Bud Light or Coors Light.
Coors Light,
Chang's
for sure.
And Walnut Creek, yeah. Hanging out with Mark Davis.
Not happening. Well, no, I'm saying I'm not going to find Steve – I don't – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see Steven Vogt and think – I'm going to see him at the Cheesecake Factory after a game with, rolling there. I see him as driving
players.
His truck to
like
to,
the sand dunes and getting like, yeah. Going to his RV.
If you were to ask the question, like, what if the Bull Durham shower shoes take was a team? That would be the
That's
A's.
That's very true. And I mean this, and here's part of the reason I think this is the case, is that...
Oh, this is our out music.
How can I say this without that? I've been spending this whole segment complimenting the A's, and this is going to sound like an insult, but I don't mean it. I swear to God, I don't mean it as an insult. The A's are about as close to a minor league franchise in Major League Baseball as possible.
Jeez, Dave.
No, and I count
in terms of the feel. I'm talking about
the fact that I think that their stadium being so crappy. Their budget being so lame, I think they have to make up for it in other ways, and that's a good thing.
Right.
They're not as corporate, and what do we always call Levi Stadium for the Niners? The stadium is very...
sterile.
Sterile. They're
sanitary.
Not as corporate and sterile right. And sanitary as AT&T
okay,
Park across
Okay, but as
the
soon
way.
As you sit down and you're watching a ball game, nobody cares about it from that point on. You get in your seat, it's one of the greatest places to watch a game.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think the atmosphere is fantastic, and I think some of the things that are against the A's franchise actually contribute to that fantastic atmosphere. How many times have we had A's players come on and say, you know what, say what you want about the ballpark, but when you get on the field, players love playing on this field. It's immaculate. We'll take a break. Come back. 3 for Madness next on The Drive Sports 1140 KHDK.
March Madness. Rate the tournament. Oh, there's nobody in the studio. How about that? Well, hey, listeners, how you doing? Matt George here, currently staring at an empty room as my 3 friends are making their way back in. So how about some stall time? As soon as they get in here, they'll realize that we are on air and it is time for 3 for Madness. Hello, everybody. How
are
we doing?
What are you talking about? We're here.
Matt?
Just wanted to, you know. You know, there's some guy that's mad at me about the last segment about the A's. It's the same guy that texted in earlier that gets mad. The A's are like his dad or something, and he's got to defend them constantly. He thought I was being condescending. I was fawning all over the A's for 15 freaking minutes. I said they have the most unique and inviting environment
experience
in Major League Baseball, and the guy has a problem with that. So I'll bet you he drives a giant truck or a sports car.
Oh, Dave, it's probably a woman. You can't make them happy.
Well, Katie said it, not me. Matt George.
March Madness. Rate the tournament on a 1 through 10 scale.
4. I thought it was kind of a dumb tournament. There were some good games. I thought the final
dumb
four especially
tournament.
was good, the semifinal games. But overall, we talked about it. The first round, second round, the buzzer beaters, overtime games, nothing there. The game last night was crap between the refs and the fact that nobody could hit the broadside of a barn because they're playing in a warehouse. This is a bad tournament.
I would say a 5, and it kind of goes to when we talked about it. When you're coming off of a tournament like last year, which was thrilling and exciting overall, I would say last year was maybe a 9, right? It's hard to follow that up, and it starts with the seeding with the Olympic committee. I was reading the NHL Olympic story earlier. It starts with the seeding by the selection committee. And they do a horrible job of it, but at least there was some upsets or whatever. But there was no really excitement to this whole tournament.
Yeah. I'm not going to put a numerical value on it, guys.
Wow, Christensen.
And I'll tell you why. Jesus. Because
wait, did you rate it?
I did. I gave it a 5,
okay,
Dave.
Sorry. Go ahead, Nate.
Because the single most important thing in amateur sports is that everybody tried hard.
A's.
All right, 3 fee number 2.
You were so happy to say it, the look on your face.
I really was.
The NHL has decided to not play in next year's Olympic Games. How lame is that?
I think it's really lame because if you think of some of the great games, right? What was the year? You're still excited from your last thing?
No.
Why? Oh, you're laughing at me. I don't think it's a good thing because I think that every athlete, professional or not, their goal is to play in the Olympics, to represent their country. And really this comes down to the NHL owners being upset because it disrupts their season. And I think that's selfish and short-sighted because it puts them on an international scale to draw eyes to their sport.
Yeah, I mean, the level of popularity of the NHL in relation to the other three major sports is reflected by the way they treat their fans. And whether it's this or finding a way to shoehorn that one dude that shouldn't have been in the All-Star game out of it.
Basically,
any time the fans try to get something fun out of the NHL, the league is like, I don't think so. Hey, anyone think of any reasons why we should be in the Olympics? Oh, your fans like it. Anything else? Anybody?
I'm not a hockey guy, but damn am I an Olympic hockey guy.
Me too.
I'm such an Olympic hockey guy. And I
Are
remember
you being
the,
serious?
Yes,
because I do
yes,
enjoy Olympic hockey.
100%. I absolutely, if Olympic hockey was like a year-round sport, that it would be one of my favorite sports, and I would watch damn near every game. USA versus Canada a few years back, and Sidney Crosby. That was ridiculous. Here's the thing. It's lame with an asterisk. It's funny in this situation that you have the players and the Players Association, run by the way, Donald Fehr, I didn't know this, who was a longtime Major League Baseball Players Association guy. They want to play. They effectively want to go play for free to represent their country and then come back. You know, like, you think it'd be the other way around.
This is what's wrong with our world,
but
by the way.
But here's the thing. I'll stand in front of the NHL a tiny bit, and I'll probably be the only guy on sports radio to do this.
No, I'll bet you won't.
You know what? You're right. But that actually means it.
Yeah, there's plenty
it.
Of people with bad takes.
But that actually means it. Here's the thing. I'm an NHL owner. Nate, you're my star player. You want to go represent Canada because I feel like that's where you'd be from. and you destroy your knee in the Olympics. And now I owe you $45 million. Here's what
But someone can do that walking down their stairs.
Sure they can. But here's my point. I would say
this. Paid to play hockey for you and only you.
If the Players Association is willing to put into the CBA that a hockey player that suffers an injury in the Olympics foregoes their guaranteed contract for the duration of their injury, I think that should be a different story. I think that's the only argument the owners could possibly have, and it's still crap. Crap, crap, crap. This is what the fans want. It's stupid. Number 3.
Wow.
What are you, Nate?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I went to take a breath and swallow at the same time. Don't do it.
We
have to isolate
that. I thought you threw up. I did, too.
I thought that was one of those, like, after big meal.
I don't have my I'm having a stroke sound ready to go. But, hey, media employed by teams are no longer going to be voting on postseason NBA awards. Do you agree?
I just want to say before Nate answers, I wrote this specifically so he'd get first crack.
Why?
Because I just feel like this is a Nady take question.
No, this is good. This is good. As much as let's take Grant for example.
Huh?
Like I trust his opinion, objectively on evaluating things. But the problem is that a lot of these guys, you're seeing them twice a year, four times a year. It's not a good enough perspective on the league as a whole. You're stuck in that one little view of seeing the prism of how they perform against your team. Katie, you've said it before. If there are a lot of games you don't get to watch because you're busy working. You see those guys when they come in.
Wow, she's crying.
I know. Jeez. I think there are more objective ways to go through it.
All right, I know Katie wants this one, and she's going to get it. Here's the thing. I think the general consensus will be this is a good thing because you've got biased announcers. I think they're almost right. I think that generally announcers and play-by-play guys and girls and whatever, they're some of the smartest people there is when it comes to basketball. What I would say is this. I would put a caveat. I think team-employed media should be able to vote in the postseason awards. I think they should be barred from voting for their own players.
I'm less worried about objectivity than I am.
I think that's
a
problem.
If a guy comes in and lights you up 4 times a year, you think he's an MVP.
No, but every team knows what the makeup of their team is. So they know, well, you know, the Kings are going to give up a career high to somebody. So they have the ability objectively to weigh in on that. Here's my thing. I don't have a whole lot of time to watch games, but there are like the Jerrys of the world where that's all he does. I actually think this is an awful thing. I think they absolutely should have a vote because I think they're watching a game way more closely and intently than somebody that's the beat writer for a team.
We're late for a break. Let's extend this, though. Let's extend this into the next segment. I think Katie's got a lot to say here. I think it's an interesting conversation. Team-employed media being barred from postseason award voting, is that something that's a good or bad thing? We'll talk about that. Let's get back into the title game, paying players and the refs being screwballs in that game. And also, did last night wrap up the greatest year in American sports history? We'll talk about that in 5 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.
It's 7:36, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
All right. Fantastic. What is that?
I hate you, Dave.
That was not what I was trying to do. Welcome back into The Drive. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie with us through Thursday or till Thursday?
Through Thursday.
Through Thursday.
I mean, I'll be here. I'll be on the show Friday. I don't know. Do we have a...
What? Of studio?
A studio.
Where are you going to be at?
Los Angeles, my friend.
We can find you a studio, I'm sure. Nate Goodyear, CBS Radio, back room.
Yeah, roundabout Sacramento question. It actually involves the MLS.
Love Sacramento question.
I know. There's a stadium vote in St. Louis today.
Uh-huh.
If that passes... Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a pretty good chance that they'll get a team. Does that mean anything for Sacramento?
You know, the ball, this sounds so familiar because of what was going on with the Kings. The MLS gave the Republic a guideline, a list of things they needed to hit. And should they hit those, they would get an MLS team. And that was things such as stadium, financing, site location and control, et cetera, et cetera. The Republic has checked all those boxes. There should be, I underline, an announcement sometime probably between July and September that Sacramento will be one of the next round of expansions. Now, St. Louis, which was already factored in, San Diego, which was not factored in. San Diego is the real wild card when they lost the Chargers, because the idea now is to give them an LA or give them an MLS team and let them play there. That's a huge market, and you're going to get a huge influx from Mexico. The problem is you have the teams already in Los Angeles. Those owners are going to have an issue with that. Not to mention the fact that you're going to split everything off. You're going to be taking some away from those, and they want those franchises to work. I think what's most likely is that San Diego and St. Louis will get in, and Sacramento, and the extra spot will be created because David Beckham's Miami franchise has been falling apart for a long time, and I think they're finally going to pull the plug on that.
Gotcha.
The reason they haven't pulled the plug on that yet is that when David Beckham came over to play for the LA Galaxy, there were provisions in his contract that stated the MLS would grant him an expansion team provided XYZ.
That's so sweet.
That's why that's still even an issue. They would have given up on Miami a long time ago, but Beckham's LA Galaxy contract and the promises made, they've tried to work that out. But that the financing, the site, everything's fallen apart.
Can I throw one other thing at you that's
Please.
Not soccer related?
Yes.
The Four Letter Network announcing this morning that with the NBA playoffs starting, Michelle Beadle has been named the full-time ABC and ESPN NBA Countdown host.
Really?
What happened to Sage Steele?
Well, you know what? I can't say it's because she got into it with Bill Simmons, because he's gone. I don't know.
Anyway, think about that.
Let me ask you this.
Is it because she was upset about people protesting at an airport and delayed her flight?
Let me be a psychologist here. I'll kind of hop on Katie's back here. Why do you think that happened, Nate?
No idea.
No idea?
Honestly, I have no idea. I think Sage Steele's fantastic. I don't agree with a lot of her social media posts. And as a side note, I think she's a monster for replacing the cream in her kids' Oreos with toothpaste on April Fool's Day a couple of years ago.
That's actually the best thing I've ever heard about
but
Sage
But that's actually
Steele.
Kind of funny. But no, I mean, from a... I have no idea otherwise.
Or maybe something's changing with her and she's going to like football or something. Who knows?
Well, we do know that ESPN is due to cut a lot of money.
And she makes a lot of money.
Well, when it comes to announcers and especially the NFL, we'll get to that in a couple minutes because we still haven't gotten into the Tony Romo stuff yet. We want to finish up the conversation we had in 3 for Madness, Katie, about the revelation yesterday that team employed media, that's the Grant Napiers, the Marv Alberts, the Eric Hasseltines of the world, those are the three I'm pulling out, they can no longer vote on postseason awards. One thing I want to add to this is that I don't know that the change happening right now is a coincidence, because one thing we have to factor in is that these postseason awards have massive financial implications due to the new collective bargaining agreement. That, for example, the player exception, like Paul George is going to get. So a lot of these things are based on not just bonuses.
Is there a reason that they gave when they announced this decision? Because I didn't see one.
I don't know what the reason
is. Here's my argument about this. I think that NBA announcers, play-by-play and color analysts watch way more basketball of other teams playing than like beat writers, for example. And then on top of that, if you know how a beat writer's schedule works, for example, or even like a national guy, they're covering, you know, a team a handful of times a year. But while they're at the arena, they're tweeting. They're already working on their story that has a deadline right after the game. They're writing it as I've watched this happen.
Sure.
They're writing it as they go throughout the course of the game. I don't think that their eyes are on the game the same way that a play-by-play and color analyst is who sees everything. So I think this is a massive mistake, because if you want to make the argument that you know, announcers can't be that they're going to be play favorites to their team, I think that's complete bullcrap.
I don't know that it's about favorites. I just think there's bias, period.
Yeah,
it's towards your team or towards the way that guys perform against your team. You're watching 82 games, but you're watching 82 games through the prism of one team.
Yeah, and you know your team better than anyone. So
Nate's point, though, that he brought up, which I'm curious for you, you've said before, and this isn't a crack on you, but you've said due to your schedule, the travel, the fact that you're on a plane a lot of times, that you don't get a chance to see as much NBA action as you'd like because
of your schedule.
No, I
didn't say necessarily NBA action. I said like college basketball. Like I'm focused on one thing.
Are you watching a lot of teams and a lot of games?
You absolutely have the ability to. Absolutely.
Are you?
But are you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you said. I said are you? You said the ability.
Let me explain this. First of all, I have a little bit different schedule than Grant and Jerry, because I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning as well. So, but in addition to that, we all have League Pass and we all have like access to League Pass on our computers. You can go into the hotel room and you can watch 4 or 5 games at one time. So yes, you have that ability to do it. And most people do.
The voting isn't perfect. And I think there need to be some adjustments. I would like to see the following two things happen. Number one, I'm fine with team-employed announcers voting. I'm fine with that. But two things need to happen. Number one, I don't think you should be able to vote for a player on your team. And number two, I don't want to see the votes.
Well, then you'll never have a unanimous
I don't care.
MVP ever again.
That's fine. Who cares? I don't, that's
a, what if that is the stipulation in the contract where it's an incentive?
That's not going to be an incentive.
But you guys, if you're drawing a paycheck from a team, like the process is inherently biased.
I agree with you. So you can't vote on your own player. And the fact that they're made public, to your point, is that you have franchises, including our very own Sacramento Kings, they all do this, that campaign for awards, Rookie of the Year, MVP, all they always campaign for. Look at the NBA vote DeMarcus Cousins thing. I don't want Grant Napier, and we're just using local examples here. I don't want Grant Napier to feel pressure to vote for one of the players that he calls, who he happens to be employed by. I don't want him to have to explain to his bosses why he didn't vote for DeMarcus Cousins in the All-Star game. I want that to be his choice.
Are these votes public?
They are now, yeah. I believe they are. They are public, yeah, because we hear all the time about how Fred Smith in Indianapolis with the Star Tribune didn't vote for Steph Curry this one year or something. We hear about that all the time.
Well, here's during the broadcast. I mean, Grant said it recently, and I want to say he was talking about Rudy Gobert as like Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's going to get my vote. I mean, they say it.
That's
on
his choice.
On the thing all the time. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. Here's my question: do you really think that these grown men, and in Stephanie Reddy's situation, she is, and Ann Myers, these are women that are on the broadcast team for the Hornets and the Suns. Do you actually think that these people are so threatened by their employers, their job, that they can't be objective?
I don't think it matters. If you get a paycheck, it's like saying that there's nothing wrong with betting on your team in baseball if you bet on them to win and you're the manager. Like, there still is. The fact that there's money on the line.
How many radio stations do you have set on your presets in your Hoblet Dodge Ram?
Know. Six.
Are they all owned by CBS?
Not necessarily, but no one's monitoring that.
Yeah, and he's not coming on the air talking about it. If we do, if the Sacramento Bee has a contest.
I can tell you I don't talk about the things that are on my radio because I work for CBS.
If the Sacramento Bee has a contest for best morning show in the city, I may vote for Armstrong and Getty, but I'm certainly not going to talk about that on the radio. They're with a competing station. That's not us, so it's a different story.
Wouldn't you be better off, honestly, like if we're in that situation and we are not allowed to vote for ourselves, are we really going to vote for someone that we actually think is good? Or maybe would we be incentivized to waste our vote so that that vote doesn't go to a competitor?
When
and maybe we can suck in the other vote.
So convoluted that we can't trust grown human beings
when
to have an opinion and be able to express it
when
willingly.
When we started walking upright.
I mean, it's a case. Look at the voting. Wasn't it the All-Star this year? What was it that the players got to vote? It was the All-Star, right?
Yeah, players.
And they're grown men. They're on the floor playing against these guys every night. They should be uniquely qualified to vote. And what happened? It was a freaking joke. It was a joke. You had Darren Collison get two votes to start. Sorry, I love Darren Collison, but Darren Collison shouldn't be starting in the All-Star game. And any two people that voted on him over anyone, you know, Steph Curry needs to have their head checked. So the idea, Katie, that we can trust these grown adults, which I agree should be the case.
I don't think we can trust grown adults to do much of anything. I don't think we can trust children to do much of anything. We can't trust people to police themselves, period.
What if you made it where they can't vote for their own team, but the votes are public then?
That's
fine. I mean,
that
would really throw a wrench into it. What about that might help?
I think their vote is valuable. That's what I'm trying to say.
I
don't think that they should have their vote ripped away from them because they work for a team. That's part of the thing about the NBA that's great is that if you're a fan of a team, your broadcasters work for the team because these are people that you respond to and they're trying to give you the best experience possible. Like Grant and Jerry are one of the most unbiased crews that is in the NBA, and that's so much of the reason why we were voted the best broadcast.
Right, but that is I agree with you, but that's an exception.
Take out the voting for your team, fine.
Okay.
But I really do believe that these professionals, and a lot of them that have been doing this for 30 years, and then others that have played the game at the NBA level, their knowledge and opinion is valuable.
Appeal to authority much, Katie?
Wow. Wow, Nate.
Yeah. I mean, come on. They've been doing it 30 years, so they're right?
Well, in Jerry's case,
I said their knowledge and opinion is valuable.
Okay.
I agree. I agree with that.
I don't understand where your snarkiness is coming from. What is it? I'm confused here. I really am.
What's confusing about it? I've made
it
clear.
Say it again.
What I'm saying is that just by having done it and have experience doing it doesn't mean that they do it right or that it's the correct thing to do.
No,
to
but
say,
I think
well,
the odds
Well, if it's not,
would...
then it's going to be canceled out by the other people. That's the whole point of voting is you don't ask one person their opinion and that's the solution.
I know where Nate's going here. And Nate, while technically I agree with you, I also think I'd much rather have a guy who's been flying for 20 years on my airplane than a rookie.
Well, yeah.
You know, I don't think experience, I think generally experience is a good thing.
Sure, but there are plenty of people that have votes that are broadcasters
sure.
that don't have experience
and there
or
are
have been doing it like ass for 30 years.
That's what I was going to say. There's plenty of people that have been doing it for 30 years that, you know, imagine Mike Francesa having a vote. You know, but
right.
you can't.
So I don't like. I think where we're really getting who is the right person to do it. Are there people more qualified than I don't know?
Well, that's John Hollinger. Obviously,
right.
we should vote on all of them.
Chad Ford. John, I'm thinking.
John Hollinger and Larry Kuhn, the CBA guy.
We get Bucher a vote too.
Oh dear Lord Almighty. Okay, so there's that. Moving on, the NCAAs. We all ranked. Nate didn't want to put a number on it. Katie ranked it a 5. I ranked it a 4.
I love how he doesn't get crap for not putting a number on it, but if I do, it's like, oh, you're a woman.
I did. Well, I called him Christensen. I called during the thing.
Yeah, but that's a shot at me.
Well,
indirectly.
Yeah. You did not pull a Katie. You de-Katied the Katie.
You guys did let me get away with it.
Yeah. That's my fault.
Wait, I had a good reason, though.
Why?
Because
well,
they're
you said,
amateurs.
They're
all that matters is that they tried hard.
That's a great point. It's a great point.
We want to go out there and have a good time. Everyone's got to go home.
It's not a business.
Oh, man.
So we were talking about Roy Williams making $950,000.
It's grotesque to put a numerical value on the performance of amateurs.
Roy is not an amateur. Roy is a paid professional who made more in the tournament and bonuses than probably, I don't know.
Than I'm going to make for like the next 10 years of my life.
Well, there you go. I was doing the math in my head, sorry.
You don't know what I make.
I have an idea.
No.
Yeah, I do. You've told me.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
Anyway, moving on with the
topic. You literally just told me a week ago how much you make.
Moving on with the topic.
Okay, so anyways, I'm saying your math's wrong. That's all I'm saying. Like the Roy Williams of sideline reporters. But either way, these guys, these players are not paid, and the conversation we were getting into was not – should you pay or should you not pay the players? Because everybody on this show agrees that you should pay the players. So we're not going to manufacture some dumb argument.
The question is how?
The question
how does
is
that happen?
How, and then what I was trying to throw into the fray here is how do you get around Title IX? That was what I was reading about last night, and that's what intrigued me was how do you get around Title IX? How do you get around pay equity in these sports?
You read that on The Blaze?
No, actually, I read it on one of your sites there, guy. You're millennial. I think it was a Deadspin
Reddit?
Article that started me. Yeah, I read it on Reddit. Now, there is the thought, much like Title IX in particular, that, hey, every single student athlete deserves an opportunity to play. And it's too bad that men's sports have to support women's sports. It shouldn't matter. Women have just as much a right to row as men do. And if men's football is going to supplement one, it should supplement the other regardless of income. Now, I fall in the line of you get paid what you're worth. I don't have a problem with the women's hockey team being paid a fraction of what the men's hockey guys do in the NHL. I don't have a problem with WNBA players making $80,000 a year, whereas NBA players make $18 million a year. I don't have a problem with that because the market dictates that.
Right.
I'm fine with that. I do have a problem when it's stacked against them. So if we're going to get into paying players, then the question is, and why this is so goofy, is how do you pay them? How do you pay them fairly? How do you pay a South Carolina men's baseball player as opposed to a men's football player? Or do you, and more importantly, if you're all Division I football players and Division I is profitable when we're talking about TV contracts, how do you pay a UC Davis basketball player the same amount of money as a North Carolina basketball player?
Well, they both went to the tournament, Dave. So
that's the question. So what's
I don't think you have to.
What's the formula? What's the formula that, what is, and I'm not asking you to do math on the air here.
No, but I mean, it's to me, the formula is simple. I mean, if you look at the amount of money that the coach and athletic director is making at North Carolina in relation to what those people are making at UC Davis, then that's where that money comes from. Facility, UC Davis just doesn't have that much money going through their football or basketball programs.
Sure.
So they don't get the share of it.
I think that there is a solution to this, but I'm okay admitting that I'm not smart enough to figure it out. No, seriously, because I think it's very complex, and mm-hmm. I think that there are people whose strengths come in the economic kind of component of this that can figure out a solution to it. But I don't think, Dave, and I know that Title IX is kind of where it gets interesting because it's equal opportunity, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean equal pay. And that's right. the same thing for, like, if you open a sign shop down the street, like, you shouldn't be entitled to make the same of a corporation that's in all 50 states because you're a mom and pop shop. Like, it's not the same thing. So you have the equal opportunity to play. But then one of the major things with a lot of universities is their booster programs, which they funnel money through those things. And they do use it and allocate it in ways that are completely against NCAA violations. It's just whether or not they're going to find out about it. And a matter of time when they do. Make that all open. Make it an open book and say, okay, it's on this team to develop a relationship with their booster program to sustain the pay for the players. That pay for that, whatever's coming through the booster program, that is going to allocate X amount of money for the players on this team. Now, if you're a high school student and you're trying to figure out where to go to school, if I want to go to school at UC Davis or if I want to go to school at Kentucky, like, I'll make the decision based on how much I'm going to be paid. That's their opportunity. And so when you talk about men versus women sports, it's the same thing.
When you just brought up Kentucky and Davis, I think that's a good example, because if it was free market, you're going to go where you're going. Isn't that what they do already, right? Is anything different if you have the opportunity to go play basketball or Kentucky or Davis?
Yeah, the difference is these people are going to Davis for 4 years and they're going to Kentucky for a year.
Also, boosters will never disclose how much they give. And neither will universities. You just can't do that. We'll take a break. Come back. Sean Salisbury will join us at 8:05. Before that, think about this during the break. Did last night's game wrap up the greatest year in American sports history? We'll talk Tony Romo heavy. Breaking news there. He's going to be an announcer, we think, and no longer play football. We'll talk about that with Sean next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.